Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're jumping into that big report from Google, Temasek, and Bain on the Southeast Asian digital economy.
That's right. And our focus really is pulling out what matters most for policy shapers, especially around e-commerce.
Okay, so let's set the stage. The scale here is pretty immense, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're talking about a digital economy heading towards, maybe even past, $300 billion in gross merchandise value by 2025.
Wow. And that's GMV, the total value of stuff being sold online.
Exactly. And it's growing steadily, you know, around 15% year on year for both GMV and actual revenue. So it's consistent growth.
But the report suggests the way people are buying is changing quite dramatically, especially in e-commerce.
Yeah, that's the big story. E-commerce is consolidating, sure. But the real, like, explosion is coming from video commerce.
Video commerce. You mean like live selling, that kind of thing?
Precisely. Think Shoppertainment. It's integrating social media and shopping seamlessly. And get this, it now makes up 25% of all e-commerce GMV in the region.
A quarter, just from video. That's huge.
It is. But here's the really interesting part for anyone tracking consumer behavior or, you know, thinking about policy. It's all about volume over value.
Volume over value. What do you mean?
Well, this boom isn't because people are suddenly buying really expensive things via video. The growth is fueled by a massive, like, 50% jump year over year in the number of transactions.
Okay, so lots and lots of small purchases.
Tiny purchases, relatively speaking. The average order value, the AOV, for these video commerce deals is only about $6 or $7.
$6 or $7, seriously?
Yeah, compare that to the overall e-commerce AOV, which is more like $11 to $13.
Yeah.
So this high-frequency, low-cost buying is really pulling down the average.
So people are buying cheap things, often probably on impulse, maybe based on trusting a creator they're watching live.
That's exactly the behavior it points to. Frequent, low-cost, very trust-dependent purchases.
Which must have some pretty specific implications for policy, right? If the value is low, but the frequency is sky high.
Definitely. It means traditional consumer protection might need rethinking. You need oversight focused on, well, trust frameworks and protecting consumers from maybe low-stakes fraud or quality issues that just multiply because there's so many transactions happening.
Okay, so e-commerce is this high-volume, low-value challenge. Where are things working well from a policy perspective? The report mentions digital financial services, DFS.
Right. DFS, particularly payments, is a real success story for regional cooperation. It's quite impressive, actually.
How so?
All 10 Asian countries, that's ASEAN, now have their own national unified QR payment systems. That alone is a big step.
Okay, standardized QR codes within each country.
But crucially, 8 of those countries now allow cross-border QR payments between them. This really speeds up the whole regional payment connectivity initiative. It's a great example of policy working across borders.
That does sound like a solid win, setting a standard almost, which contrasts with the next big wave, AI.
Yeah, AI is transforming things rapidly. You've got 5 Southeast Asian markets already in the global top 20 for interest in multimodal AI. The appetite is there.
Oh, but I sense a but.
Well, the report calls regulatory choices the big wild card for the next decade. Businesses are really struggling with a fragmented regulatory landscape across the different countries.
Meaning lots of different rules, lots of uncertainty.
Exactly. It just drives up compliance costs and makes planning difficult. It creates friction.
So if regulation is the wild card, what's the potential AI prize that good policy could help unlock?
The big one seems to be what the report calls agentic transactions.
Agentic transactions.
Yes, AI not just suggesting something, but actually doing things for you, making more complex purchases, handling tasks that involve higher stakes than just, you know, ordering groceries.
Right, moving beyond simple convenience suggestions.
Exactly. But to get there, to really unlock that commercial potential, you need consumers to trust the AI with those bigger decisions. And that trust needs strong foundations.
Which brings us back to policy.
Yes. Policy intervention is key for building those foundations. Things like solid digital identity systems, making sure different platforms can actually work together, interoperability, and strengthening that payment infrastructure we just talked about.
Okay, so wrapping this up for our listeners. E-commerce is being reshaped by these high-volume, low-value video buys. We've seen real policy success in harmonizing digital payments regionally. But the AI future, that depends heavily on navigating tricky regulatory waters and building serious consumer trust.
Right. And that leads to a really provocative final thought, especially for policy shapers in the region.
Yep.
We know Southeast Asian wages are, on average, maybe only 5% of U.S. wages.
Well, huge difference.
Huge. So given the often very high cost of implementing sophisticated AI solutions, Where should the policy priority lie? Should it be pushing AI for automation, which might directly compete with relatively low-cost labor, or should the focus be laser-sharp on using AI for high-value creation, things that generate enough economic return to clearly justify that significant technology investment, even against the backdrop of lower labor costs? That calculation, that ROI question, really shapes a path forward for AI policy in ASEAN.